energy so stale in the air. Everybody's running scared. We used to be so carefree. We used to be so happy. We used to have everything we need. Now we gotta
welcome to Village Mentality, where melanated people are connected in spirit, love, and community. What's up, kings and queens, beautiful people everywhere? It's your girl, CK McGee, and I am your host. Hey there, beautiful people. How's everyone doing? I pray that you're all doing as well as you can be. Welcome back to another episode of Village Mentality, the podcast. I'm always so glad to have you all here with me in the village, and you're welcome to join me each and every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'd also like to take a little bit of time to welcome those of you who may be tuning in for the very first time. Now, if you're looking to see what Village Mentality is all about, then you're welcome to catch up on all previous episodes, and I do mean every single last episode of Village Mentality from season 1 up until season 8. You can find them on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Radio Public, and I also provide links to each episode on both Instagram and Facebook, so I'll share those with you at the end of the show. But thanks again to all of you for joining. Now, if you guys know what I know, you know by now that last week we had an earthquake that was felt here in the state of New York, which is my home state, yep, the Empire State. Now, it originated, according to my understanding, in New Jersey, in the tri-state area, felt the effects of that 4.8 magnitude. Where were you? Now, I can tell you, I was at work, and it was very interesting because the part of the building that I was standing in, as I was talking to some of my colleagues, we didn't feel anything. And it was very, very funny because there were some of our other colleagues who kind of came in, mentioned that something was happening, and we were like, yeah, okay, well, you know, we know that there's some work that's being done in the neighborhood. And let me tell you, we were not the only ones that felt that way. There's work being done. Something must be happening as far as that work was concerned. It wasn't felt by some of us in the building. But when some other colleagues came in and was like, wait a minute, there's an earthquake and what have you, it was like, wait a second. Now, here's what's interesting, kings and queens. At that same time, though, I was in deep discussion and we were talking about another phenomenon that took place this past Monday, the eclipse. So we were talking about the significance of the eclipse and what it means to like millions of people across the world. So, you know, not that I'm going to take so much time to talk about that, but we were just talking about the preparations at that time, you know, what was needed to be done and, you know, the anticipation, the nervousness, you know, the not knowing, all of those things were happening and were being discussed. And then the earthquake, we felt the effects of the earthquake. So what a very interesting week it was last week, huh? Now, Village, on a daily basis, you know, I meet with people out there who are dealing with some very difficult issues in their lives. And some of them are really just about at their wit's end, honestly, right? You can never underestimate the power of holding space for people who are struggling to come to terms with life's curveballs. That's what I like to call them, because sometimes things happen that we are not expecting, while there are other times where we're dealing with things that are difficult and they just grow more difficult. We might not have the support that we need, so forth and so on, right? Now, I am not, as I always like to let everybody know, in every space I occupy, I'm not a mental health professional. So I don't want to get anything twisted. I don't want anyone to get confused. You know, I'm not here diagnosing conditions or prescribing medications, right? Those things are not what I do. Those are not my functions. But I'm a mental health and wellness advocate, right? And I have lived experience with mental health conditions. And, you know, it is my goal. It is a part of my purpose to help dismantle stigma, right? I need to do that because there are a lot of people that are having a hard time navigating their way through this thing we call life. And as an advocate, I'm utilizing my platform to educate and bring awareness around topics that impact our mental health, right? Because you might not even be aware of it. So that's why I do this podcast. So I hold space for those who simply need to listen, you know, need someone to listen, I should say, during times of distress. And it comes to me on a daily basis, I have to tell you, right? Someone might need a sounding board. They might just want to gain some clarity because there's a lot more people in their lives who are not listening. I think that's something that's really, very important to understand. Family, friends, villagers out there, you may have someone in your life that really needs your support, really needs your help. And it just might boil down to you listening to them and allowing them the opportunity to be able to talk about whatever is on their mind, whatever is bothering them, you know, what they may be struggling with, because everybody at some point in their life wants to be seen, needs to be understood, right? So I am, you know, especially focused on BIPOC communities, right? I'm an African-American woman, so therefore I think that would stand to reason. I'm extremely concerned about us, our communities of color and our mental health, you know, and it has a lot to do with, again, those things that we face on a daily basis that might be unique to us because of the color of our skin, right? Now, there are various groups that are represented under the BIPOC acronym, right? Those who identify as Black, Indigenous, people of color, including Latine, Latino, Latina, also Asian American Pacific Islanders. So, they all have their own perspective as to how they look at mental health, if they even do. Because in some instances, it may not even be recognized if you're experiencing certain symptoms as, you know, symptoms that relate to mental health, right? So it's podcasts like these that are here so that we can talk about it and educate and bring awareness. Hopefully it'll help. Right? Now, the thing that I always like to stress is that there's not a higher prevalence of mental health conditions within communities of color like this, in BIPOC communities, but there are a lot of obstacles that are faced when it comes to, you know, seeking the support and the resources that are available to others out there may not be so readily or easily available to BIPOC communities. So that's another work that's, you know, being done out there to bring equity, you know, to the behavioral health services, to mental health treatments, and making sure that everyone's aware of, you know, what's available to them so that they can get the help that they so richly deserve, that they need in order to live the lives that they want to. Because stigma, it's a powerful barrier for people with mental health conditions. It really is. Whether it's language, whether it's, you know, where you live in the state, is it rural, is it urban? Are there mental health professionals that are available, you know, to you? So there's a lot. Transportation could be an issue. So there's a lot. Now, one of the things too that I talk about as it relates to mental health, but really it just should just be, I don't know, I'm hoping it'll just become a part of your daily thinking, and that's self-care, right? It's a very important tool, in my opinion, and I'm happy to report that slowly but surely, I'm starting to notice people around me who are really beginning to understand just how important self-care is in our daily lives, right? And it really just would stand to reason that if you are someone or you know people who are constantly pouring into others, right? Self-care is a way for us to be able to replenish all that energy that we're pouring out into the world. And it's very simple, right? You don't have to like take a lot of time to practice it. It could be as easy as making the decision to take a nap, go to sleep. We're tired, aren't we? I know I am. I'm tired. Go to sleep. Maybe get some fresh air. You've been in the office all day. You need some fresh air. Go out into nature and see the world. See, you know, just, you know, everything around you. Appreciate it. You know, practice gratitude. All of these things, right, can really help bring you out of a funk. It can really help make you feel better, boost morale, your self-esteem. There are many different ways that you can practice self-care, especially when you view it holistically, right? Look at yourself as a whole person. Think about all that's going on in your life, and there might be something that you need to lean into a little bit that needs a little bit more of your attention, right? So for someone who's in crisis, though, it's understandable that practicing self-care may not be the first thing on your list. I got it. I do. But it's a practice, so it's something that takes time anyway, right? So when we learn how to identify the things that we need to do in order to take better care of ourselves, then not only does it help us to feel good, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you as an individual, but you are better able to show up for others more effectively. Trust me, it's for everyone, self-care. It is for everyone. Think about it as self-preservation, right? And it will help us to rejuvenate our spirits and souls so that we can continue to be the fantabulous kings and queens that we most definitely are. And of course, I'm right here to remind us of that fact every single chance I get, right? And also remind me, because I need reminding too. You dig? Now, if you've heard the show before, then you know that you know that you know that there's plenty of music too. And tonight, we're going to be listening to some of our favorite blue-eyed, soulful singers. That's right. So sit back, relax, get your glass of wine, light some candles, whatever you need to do. But sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Now, without further ado, I believe that it's time for me to take my first walk of the evening to my musical jukebox. Village, first up, is a song by an American singer-songwriter, and it was released in September of 1978 as the lead single from his eponymous debut album. It was written by this very talented singer and Alphonse Kettner, and it was produced by Anne Halloway. Now, the song has been covered and sampled numerous times, including by the late, great Tupac Shakur in this posthumous 1998 hit, Due for Love. Here's Bobby Caldwell with What You Won't Do for Love.
I guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find the love within. I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze from your love, you see. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. I would not do. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze from your love, you see. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. For love, you've tried everything, but you won't give up. In my world, only you made me do for love what I would not do. Made me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love.
what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do. Thank you.
That was one of my favorites by Michael McDonald. I keep forgetting. Oh, I love it. That song is so smooth, y'all. It is so smooth. And it was from his debut album, If That's What It Takes, released in 1982. It was written by McDonald and Ed Sanford. And it was released as a single, peaked at number 4 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles Chart and number 7 on the R&B chart, as well as the Adult Contemporary Chart. It peaked at number 8. Pretty cool song. I always love that song. It's timeless to me. That's also one of the classics. I'm sure it is. Well, Village, you know me. I like to take a little bit of time to talk about some things, you know? It could be about current events, entertainment, or something that's just on my mind. So why don't we get into my segment called Let's Talk About It. Okay, beautiful people. Now, if you remember last week, I talked about how stress, and this is April, Stress Awareness Month, but how stress is a natural part of our life and that it can be helpful in helping us to respond in threatening and dangerous situations. Now, when we sense danger, our body's defenses, they kick into high gear in a very rapid, automatic process known as the fight or flight response. Sometimes stress manifests as that nagging feeling that keeps you up at night. Other times, it'll show up as the tension in your shoulders, you know, when you need a massage after a long day. Or it could be racing thoughts that won't let you relax. But it turns out that not all stress is created equal. In fact, it can be categorized into different types, and each type of stress has its own unique set of triggers or stressors. Now, understanding these types of stress and their stressors is the first step toward, you know, managing our stress effectively, which is what we want to do, right? Now, stress, the categories, it can be, you know, divided into, or however you want to say it. The first one is acute stress, right? Then there's episodic acute stress and chronic stress. And each type has its own characteristics, symptoms, duration, and treatment approaches. So first, let's talk about acute stress. Now, acute stress is a short-term type of stress that can be exciting but exhausting if it's too intense. It's the body's immediate reaction to a new challenge, event, or demand. Now, here are some everyday stressors that can cause acute stress, just so that you know, right? It could be unexpected responsibilities or costs, you know, like maybe a surprise bill, something you weren't expecting, or an unexpected task at work. That can trigger acute stress. You know how you just have your day planned out, right? You know exactly what you're going to do when you come into work, and then all of a sudden somebody says, can you do this instead? Or can you do this right now? Or I need this done right away. And it's like, okay, right? Acute stress. How about sudden changes? Like, you know, it could be the loss of a job, a breakup, right? Or any other sudden negative change in your life. But it can also include positive changes like having a baby or moving to a new city. What about an argument, right? Now, this is a heated argument with a friend, a partner, family member, a coworker. All of those things would be considered acute stress. An exciting or scary event might be something else that, you know, could cause acute stress, like a roller coaster ride. Do you guys like roller coasters? You know, there was a time when I kind of did, but I'm seeing some roller coasters now that's just like off the chain, right? I don't even know if I can even get on a roller coaster now. I'm not sure. But roller coasters, if you have a big presentation, a first date, that could be acute stress. These events cause acute stress. How about environmental stressors like noise, honk, honk, and all that yelling or whatever, you know, somebody, I'm walking here, I'm walking, you know, just that kind of thing. Extreme weather conditions. Didn't we just talk about this earlier? New York is not used to earthquakes, people. So that could have been acute stress right there, right? And it could also be, you know, temporary disturbances. that fall under this category. So I'm not sure if that maybe might be something like, I don't know, construction, you know? Although construction sometimes can seem like it can go on forever, right? So in the case of experiencing acute stress, you may find it helpful to have some mindfulness tools at your disposal, right? Whenever you feel that adrenaline rush, or, you know, that your anxiety spikes, you know, that's what accompanies acute stress usually, you know, turn to some of those more relaxing practices to help you get through it, all right? Next up, episodic acute stress. Now, that's when acute stress happens more frequently. You know, people with episodic acute stress often feel like their life is chaotic and drama-filled. Oh, no, we can't have that. No drama. That's what Mary J. Blige said, right? No drama, no more drama. Here are some common stressors for episodic acute stress. Work overload. You're doing too much. You're doing way too much. You constantly have too much work, and you have these real tight, inflexible deadlines, right? That can lead to episodic acute stress. How about juggling multiple roles? You know, if you're balancing many roles, like being a parent, a student, and an employee, you might experience episodic acute stress. Financial stressors, ongoing struggles with finances, you know, paying bills and economic uncertainty, those kinds of things fall into this category. How about technological stressors, like the constant stream of digital notifications, adapting to new technologies? That can lead to recurring stress. Thank goodness I'm not really all about that too much, but I do know, like, the notifications can be a lot. You know, like if you have your notifications on for Facebook or Instagram or whatever else you can be notified about, it's ridiculous. And you could be notified about everything, even if something posts on YouTube. It's like, come on, unplug. Now, if you find yourself dealing with episodic acute stress, consider implementing daily mindfulness practices into your routine. Okay? So being present is very important. Being present, right? Knowing that you'll have a few minutes of calm each day can help a busy mind or a stressed brain to know that relief is imminent. So it's not like this ongoing stress-filled day. You actually could have a break, right? And then the last one is chronic stress. Now, chronic stress is the most harmful type of stress, beautiful people. Long-term stress feels unending and inescapable. That's chronic stress. You know, the stress of a bad marriage. Oh, Lord, there's a lot of those out there, right? Or an extremely demanding job. Those too. So here again are some situations where chronic stress could be at play. You have social and relationship stressors, ongoing conflicts, something that's just toxic, you know, misunderstandings or loneliness in interpersonal relationships, especially within marriage and a family, that can cause chronic stress, right? Poverty, constant financial stress, and worry about money can cause chronic stress. You never know where it's coming from. It never seems to, like, you know, reach as far as it needs to. You're working, you know, like a dog, and it just doesn't seem to really be helping. You know what I mean? Chronic stress. Health-related stressors, you know, if you're managing a chronic illness or ongoing mental health issues, could lead to persistent stress. And I know that personally, right? Again, I am a person with lived experience. So that is definitely true. Job stress, you know, if your job is constantly demanding and unrewarding, so you're working really hard and you're getting nothing from it, what? Yeah, that can totally lead to some kind of chronic stress. How about personal stressors, like deep-seated fears or anxieties, or maybe you're a perfectionist type of person? That can lead to chronic stress. And I know about perfectionism as well. You know, it's not that you think you're perfect. It's just that you want things to be perfect. You know, you want all your I's dotted, your T's crossed, and sometimes it can't be that way. And so we have to do the next best thing. My mother said to work in excellence. So that's what I do. I work in excellence. I do the best that I can, and that's all I can do. How about existential stressors, right? Background worries, for example, climate change, natural disasters. If you really focus on those things, like a lot of people out there may be focusing on, that too can cause chronic stress. Now, if your stress is chronic, then it might be helpful to talk with a professional because you need to get some help with that. You shouldn't be feeling that all the time. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your mind, your spirit. It's not good at all to constantly be stressed. Practices like cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, or EMDR can help reduce the trauma response in the brain. Implementing daily practices, like doing it all the time, especially those that involve, you know, a moment, you know, that can be hugely helpful to you. So again, it's about you being intentional. The relief can be there. Schedule it in. Be mindful of it, right? So that you can feel better. Now, everyone, you know, that experiences stress experiences it differently. What causes stress for one person might not be stressful for another. It's subjective, right? So the key is identifying what causes stress for you so that you can manage it effectively. All right. I hope that's helpful to you all. And again, you know, I'm always encouraging you. You can continue to do the research so that you can, you know, dig deeper and find out, you know, anything else that you might be interested in as it relates to stress. But, you know, April is Stress Awareness Month, so we'll continue talking about it throughout the rest of the month. Okay. Here's to brighter days. Now, Village, if you've been listening to the show, then you know that each and every week I talk about Black history. I believe that we should always be talking about Black history all year long because Black history is American history, and soon we won't even have to refer to it as Black history, right? That's what we're working on. So let's talk about it. Now, despite the strides taken during the Civil Rights Movement, including the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, race-based housing patterns remained an obstacle in the late 60s, while African-American and Mexican-American members of the U.S. military fought and died for their country in Vietnam, their family members at home had trouble renting or purchasing homes in residential areas because of their race or national origin. Now, organizations such as the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, otherwise known as the NAACP, and the GI Forum, lobbied for new fair housing legislation to be passed. NAACP Washington Director Clarence Mitchell Jr. proved to be so effective in pushing through civil rights legislation that he was referred to as the 101st Senator. Now, missing LBJ's desired deadline of Dr. King's funeral by just one day. Remember last week we talked about the assassination of Martin Luther King. Missing the deadline by one day, the United States Congress passed the Civil Rights Act on April 10th, 1968. And that was actually the final great legislative achievement of the Civil Rights era. LBJ passing, Lyndon B. Johnson, our president, former president, passing that bill. That was like one of the great legislative achievements of the Civil Rights era, one of the last, one of the final. Now, an expansion of the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1968, popularly known as the Fair Housing Act, it actually prohibits discrimination concerning the sale, rental, or financing of housing based on race, religion, national origin, and sex. And that, Village, is Black History Wednesday. This next song is from this American singer from her self-titled debut studio album, which was released in 1999. It's a teen pop song with elements from R&B. It was nominated for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance at the 42nd Annual Grammy Awards. The single reached number one on the records chart of 21 countries. Here's Christina Aguilera with her hit, Genie in a Bottle.
Of lonely nights, waiting for someone to release me. to saying no, no.
I still wanna be with me, baby.
Come on and let me out.
People magazine voted this next ballad as 2007's sexiest song of the year. It was also named the 10th best song of 2007 by Vibe magazine. Well, here he is, ladies, Robin Thicke with his song Lost Without You. And when we come back, I will get into today's topic.
Lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? I'm lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? Tell me how you love me more, and how you think I'm sexy, babe. But you don't want nobody else. You don't want this guy, you don't want that guy. You wanna touch yourself when you see me. Tell me how you love my body, and how I make you feel, babe. You wanna roll with me, you wanna hold with me, you wanna stay warm and get out of the cold with me. I just love to hear you say it. It makes a man feel good, babe. Tell me you depend on me. I need to hear it. I'm lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? I'm lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? Baby, you're the perfect shape. Baby, you're the perfect way. Treat me like my birthday. I want it this way, I want it that way. I want it. Tell me you don't want me to stop. Tell me it would break your heart that you love me and all my dirty. You wanna roll with me, you wanna hold with me, you wanna make vows and get Norwegian wood with me. I just love to hear you say it. It makes a man feel good, babe. I'm lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? I'm lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby? 'Cause you will tell me it feel to know that I
Okay, kings and queens, tonight I would like to talk with you about emotionally intelligent people. Now, emotional intelligence is something that's being talked about more and more these days. Now, what is emotional intelligence? Well, EI, or emotional intelligence, is the ability to manage both your own emotions and to understand the emotions of the people around you. Now, there are five key elements to EI, emotional intelligence, that is: self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. So I thought that I would talk about emotional intelligence as it relates to the workplace, right? Because, well, that's where most of us tend to spend a lot of our time, at work. And it's the relationships at work that are not always the easiest to manage, right? You know, we come into contact with people who have different personalities, upbringings, belief systems. And as my mom has always told me, we are not able to control anyone else or their behavior. But what if there was a way to at least better understand them so that we can have better interactions? So high emotional intelligence overlaps with strong interpersonal skills, right? Especially in the areas of conflict management and communication. Crucial skills that are needed in the workplace, don't you think? Now, employees who can self-regulate their emotions are often able to avoid making impulsive decisions. They think objectively before they act. Operating with empathy and understanding is a crucial part of teamwork. Being able to attribute someone's behavior to an underlying emotion will help you manage relationships and make others feel heard. You know, I'm always talking about what lies beneath, right? Someone's emotional blueprint. Now, on an individual level, being aware of your feelings is the first step in not letting those feelings control you. Recognizing how you feel and why will help you sit with those feelings and then move forward in a productive way. Now, let's get into the five elements of emotional intelligence. So first up, Village, is self-awareness. Now, it's about recognizing and understanding your emotions, you know, what you're feeling and why, as well as appreciating how those feelings, how those emotions affect others. Now, this is the basis for good intuition and decision making, and it helps you to instinctively make the right choices for you and your life in all aspects. Now, self-awareness, is also about knowing your strengths and weaknesses. And it's about what's important to you. You know, what are your values, your moral compass, all right? So that's kind of that thing. That self-awareness is really good to have, isn't it? Because if you don't know about you, how can you tell anybody else about you, right? Doesn't that make sense? Next up is self-regulation. Self-regulation. Can you reel yourself in? Can you? Once you've mastered emotional awareness, the next step is managing those emotions, right? Particularly the negative ones that come up. You got to be able to manage those negative emotions effectively, right? Because as you're getting older, the expectation that you should be able to do something like this only increases, right? Treat others always with the respect and you know, the respect that you want. We got to learn how to stay in control. We can't just flip out every single time something goes wrong or something doesn't go according to our plan. Now, it's not to say that every once in a while we don't lose our tempers. I do. Come on. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying that we need to conduct ourselves appropriately, and self-regulation is one of the ways that we can do it. If you have a tendency to have these emotional outbursts, practice being calm. Step back and take a deep breath. If you have to count to 10, breathe, close your eyes. Whatever you need to do, beautiful people, please do it. It's also important to stay true to your values and hold yourself personally accountable for any mistakes. There's no more respect that I could possibly have than for a person who can hold themselves accountable. It's that person that just doesn't see it, won't take any accountability, won't take any responsibility, never thinks that they're wrong, always pointing their fingers at everybody else. What? Uh-uh. That can't be it. It's not going to work for you. At least not with me, it won't. Oh. Motivation is the third element of emotional intelligence. Now, motivation is about your drive to improve and achieve. You should always want to level up, do better. You should never get comfortable in complacency, right? Set high standards for yourself. Work consistently towards your goals. Take the initiative. Be ready to act on opportunities as they come along. And practice being assertive. Let me tell you something. When you're out there in the village, people are definitely watching you. So be ready all the time. And in order to be ready all the time, then you need to sort of like be self-determined and recognize that, you know what? I need to get a little bit better at this. I need to be stronger in that. Right? So when that opportunity circles back to you, you are at the ready to take it. Now, motivation is also about optimism and resilience, the bounce back, yes, and finding the positive in a situation, even or especially those that didn't go well. Listen, where do you think life lessons come from, village? Life lessons come from mistakes, those things that didn't go too well, right? Now, as much as it might hurt, it might be disappointing, we wish it had worked out a different way, let's look at those situations and see how we can learn from them so that we can do better. A key interpersonal skill is our fourth element, empathy. Yes, and that's the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes. It helps to be able to see a situation from someone else's perspective. As well as having an awareness of others' feelings, it's important to acknowledge and respond to them, even if you don't agree with them, right? Respecting diversity and inclusion is a vital aspect of empathy. What? Let's say that again for the people in the back. Respecting diversity and inclusion is a vital aspect of empathy. What does it mean? What does that mean? If I am a Black woman, and I am called angry simply because I'm passionate about a point of view that I may have about a particular subject, is that fair to me to call me the angry Black woman just because it's a stereotype that's been placed upon us? Or could you possibly look at the fact that, wow, she's really passionate about what she's talking about, and maybe the content is important enough for you to pay attention to? Would you, as a white woman, as a Asian American Pacific Islander woman, like it if when you got a little bit, you know, excited or passionate about something that you were talking about, that you would be referred to as the angry Black, an angry woman of whatever race or ethnicity you are? That's not right, right? So think about how it would feel if you were spoken about like that. That's empathy. How would you feel, right? Pay attention, you know, to what you say and to what others say, whether it's through, you know, verbal language or body language. All of that matters. Okay. You know, if somebody comes and you kind of like hold on to your purse because they're a person from a different race, really? And so how would you feel if somebody did that to you? Just think about stuff like that. Hopefully that can help you understand empathy a little bit better. And the last element of emotional intelligence is social skills. Social skills, right? You know, sometimes it can be described as being a people person. Those who are socially skilled are adept at dealing with others. They're trustworthy team players and confident communicators. They're good at listening to other people, and they're good, you know, at speaking for themselves. Right? Now, they also make great leaders, inspiring and motivating colleagues, managing change, and resolving conflict effectively. You know, they give praise when it's due as well. They're not jealous. They're not envious of anybody. They see something good and they're like, hey, you know what? That was real cool. That was so good. You know? Now, there are some that may be naturally more adept at certain aspects. And emotional intelligence, it can be learned. It can be developed and it can be enhanced. Now, research has discovered a clear link between emotional intelligence and mental health disorders, the chief among them being anxiety and depression, which also happen to be like the most popular, if you will, the most, I don't want to say popular as if it's like a game or I don't want to play it light, but they're the most prevalent, that's the word I'm looking for, of our mental health conditions, anxiety and depression. Now, specifically, good emotional intelligence was found to protect us against these disorders. emotional intelligence has a positive effect against mental health disorders because it does help individuals have a better grasp on potential stressors. So in the case of anxiety, this can make the world a less threatening place, assuaging feelings of aversive hyperarousal and helping them to be more easily, you know, to return to a state of calm, let's just say, right? If you're like hyper, the fact that you have these, you know, elements in place, it can bring you down, you know, to earth. It can calm you down is what they're saying, basically. Now, in the case of depression, being more adept at acknowledging one's emotions can sustain their ability to fully process painful experiences or losses, right? So this in turn can promote a greater capacity to mourn over your abilities, you know, or mourn the loss of a loved one, the loss of dreams, relationships, you know, all of these things, and you'll still be able to move forward, okay? As a result, you won't get stuck in this depressive episode. So promoting a greater sense of belonging can also help you to understand your emotions, manage them better, and contain them, right? And also, it's important that we're able to relate to what others are feeling, and as a result, feel more at ease and accepted, right? So as always, Village, I do invite you to do your own research on this, but I do hope, as always, that the information that I've shared with you will be helpful. Here's to brighter days. was one of my favorites, Village, Careless Whisper by George Michael, former member of the group Wham. You know, it's still so hard to believe that he's no longer with us, but I'm always happy to know that we have his wonderful catalog of music available for our enjoyment. And it was followed by Lisa Stansfield with her very popular song, All Around the World. Now, this song was from her debut studio album, Affection, released in 1989. And it was released as the album's second single by Arista Records. All Around the World was nominated for the Grammy Award for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance at the 33rd Annual Grammy Awards. Now, additionally, Stansfield was nominated for the Grammy Award for Best New Artist. Okay, beautiful people, it's time for this week's inspirational story, and it's called The Loser Who Never Gave Up. Again, The Loser Who Never Gave Up. Here's the story. When he was a little boy, his uncle called him Sparky, after a comic strip horse named Sparky Plug. Now, school was all but impossible for Sparky. He failed every subject in the eighth grade. He flunked physics in high school, getting a grade of zero. I didn't even know you could do that. A grade of zero. Wow. He also flunked Latin, algebra, and English. And his record in sports, well, it wasn't any better either. Though he did manage to make the school's golf team, he promptly lost the only important match of the season. Oh, well, there was a consolation match, but he lost that too. Now, throughout his youth, Sparky was awkward socially. It wasn't that the other students disliked him, it's just that no one really cared all that much. In fact, Sparky was astonished if a classmate ever said hello to him outside of school hours. There's no way to tell how he might have done at dating. He never once asked a girl out in high school, and he was too afraid of being turned down or perhaps laughed at. Sparky was a loser. He, his classmates, everyone knew it. That's deep, y'all. So he learned to live with it, but he made up his mind early that if things were meant to work out, they would. Otherwise, he would be content with himself, and he appeared, you know, to be his, would content himself with what appeared to be his inevitable mediocrity, right? So he was content with it. He was just like, you know what? I've made peace with it. I am a loser. That's really deep. Think about that. Now, one thing was important to Sparky, however, and that was drawing. He was proud of his artwork. No one else appreciated it, but that didn't seem to matter to him. In his senior year of high school, he submitted some cartoons to the yearbook. Now, the editors rejected the concept, but despite this brush-off, Sparky was convinced of his ability. He even decided to become an artist. So, after completing high school, Sparky wrote Walt Disney Studios, and they asked for samples of his artwork. Despite careful preparation, it too was rejected. One more confirmation that he was a loser. But Sparky still didn't give up. Instead, he decided to tell his own life story in cartoons. The main character would be a little boy who symbolized the perpetual loser and chronic underachiever. And ladies and gentlemen, you know him very well, because Sparky's cartoon character went on to become a cultural phenomenon of sorts. People readily identified with this quote-unquote lovable loser. He reminded people of the painful and embarrassing moments from their own past, of their pain and their shared humanity. The character soon became famous worldwide. Charlie Brown. And Sparky the boy, whose many failures never kept him from trying, whose work was rejected again and again, is the highly successful cartoonist Charles Schulz. His cartoon strip, Peanuts, continues to inspire books, t-shirts, Christmas specials that we don't get to see anymore, reminding us, as someone once commented, that life somehow finds a way for all of us, even the so-called losers. right? So what's the moral of the story, beautiful people? Well, Sparky's story reminds us of a very important principle in life. We all face difficulty and discouragement from time to time, and we also have a choice in how we handle it. If we're persistent, if we hold fast to our faith, if we continue to develop the unique talents that we've been given by God, right? Who knows what can happen? We may end up with an insight and an ability to inspire, you know, all or any, you know, that comes through that hardship. In dealing with that hardship, we can be an inspiration. And in the end, there are no losers. There are no losers with our Creator, right? Some winners just take a little longer to develop. Here's to brighter days.
Even if you see my scars, even if I break your heart, if we're a million miles apart, do you think you'd walk away? If I get lost in all the noise, even if I lose my voice, flirt with all the other boys, what would you say? Could you? For better or for worse, or am I just your good time girl? Can you still hold me when it hurts? Or would you walk away? Even if I scandalize you, cut you down, criticize you, tell a million lies about you, what would you say? Could you?
That was a first for me, Kings and Queens. I mean, the first time that I heard this song from Pink, featuring country music singer Chris Stapleton, Love Me Anyway. I love when you're able to discover that artists can be so multifaceted, you know, in their messaging. And Pink is very talented indeed, and I'm happy to get the chance to really learn about her through her music. Now, this song comes to us from her 8th studio album, Hurts to Be Human, which was released in 2019. And it was followed by my girl Adele with Easy on Me, which was from her 4th studio album, 30, released in 2021. It is a torch song and ballad, which places emphasis on Adele's vocals, which are set over progressively louder growing piano instrumentation. Now, in its lyrics, she addresses her divorce and pleads for forgiveness and understanding from her son, ex-husband, and herself. Now, at the 65th Annual Grammy Awards, the song won Best Pop Solo Performance from its 4 nominations. It was nominated for several other awards, and it won the 2022 Brit Award for Song of the Year. Easy on Me reached number 1 on the charts in several countries, and it became Adele's longest-running chart topper in the U.S. and the U.K. Well, kings and queens, it looks like we've come to the end of another show. I do hope that the information provided will be of help to you. Remember, it's always a good idea to do your own research, no matter what the topic is, especially if your life is involved. It has been a pleasure, and it's always an honor to be here with you in the village each and every week. I want to thank you for tuning in this week, and I look forward to being with you again here in the village next Wednesday, right? At 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, for those of you who follow the podcast on a weekly basis, if you don't see it available at 6 o'clock, don't fret. It will be available. It will be there. Keep listening. Thank you so much for your support. I appreciate all of you. As life gets busier and busier, sometimes I may not always have it at 6 o'clock, but I do my best. But know that it will be there, and know how much I appreciate all of you for listening. Thank you so much. Please be sure to follow Village Mentality on Instagram at villagementality.ckm. That's CKM as in Mary, right? And on Facebook at Village Mentality, the podcast. Now, you can always catch up on all the episodes of Village Mentality on Spotify from season 1 all the way to season 8, Google Podcasts, same thing, as well as Anchor, Radio Public. And again, the links are provided on Instagram at villagementality.ckm as in Mary, and on Facebook at Village Mentality, the podcast. And just remember that God has got me, and He's got you too. Be blessed, beautiful people.
Energy so stale in the air. Everybody's running scared. We used to be so carefree. We used to be so happy. We used to have everything we need. Yeah. Wow.